If you had a second chance, what would you do? Let's go to Tim in Florida. Hey, Tim, what would you do?
Hey, are you on?
Yeah.
Okay, it's an honor to speak with you. I've been listening to you for a couple of years now,
a few years. Thank you.
The one thing that I would change, and I know this is going to sound stupid, but the last words I said to the only woman who ever loved me, my wife, last thing I said to her was, I'll never speak to you again. And she got killed that night.
Oh, my God, Tim.
And if I could just go back, tell her I love her.
Oh. And you, obviously you didn't mean it that way, but that's what
happened. No, I didn't.
No.
No.
Of course not.
And I don't know, but it just feels good to say it.
Yeah, it does. Okay?
I talk to her, believe it or not. I know you think I'm crazy.
No, no, not at all. Not at all.
But it's been, and you know, people tell me, like, it's been 12 years. And people say things, you know, they don't know. Like, get over it. My personal favorite, it was meant to be. Oh, yes. She was meant to be run over on the side of the road while walking on a sidewalk.
Yeah, no, that was just a sad tragedy, to be sure.
Yeah, it's not meant to be. I mean, if well, meant know, to be see, you... was true, then you could use it as criminal defense.
See,
well,
Tim,
Your Honor, I shot this guy because it was meant to be.
Let me tell you, people say that because they don't know what to say. They don't know what to say to you. They don't know how to comfort you. They don't know. I mean, they just feel trapped. They feel awkward. They don't. So people tend to say things like, "It was meant to be."
Well,
she's in a better place.
Yeah.
And but you know, the bottom line is this is something that's within you. And you know, people just you know, it's a difficult thing for someone. You know, you ever go up to somebody and say, "Hey, how you doing today?" Well, you always expect them to say, "Hey, I'm fine." Some guy pulls you aside and tells you every problem he has, and you want to run away.
I mean, you don't expect someone to say, "Well, I got a nosebleed." I don't feel good today, or whatever. Yeah. When you ask somebody how you feel today, you expect them to say, "Yeah, I feel good."
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, listen, I've been listening to you for about 3 years now, and since I got your attention, can I ask one quick question?
You sure can.
All right. Have you ever had any experience with anybody who has known anything about dream intervention?
Yes. And are you looking for someone to help you?
Well, no. I've been doing it since I was a little kid.
You have?
Yeah. I intervene in my dreams all the time.
Oh, we've got a couple dream experts, Tim, that come on and tell us some of the most incredible things. I mean, I haven't. But, I mean, I've used my dream state to get some things accomplished, but I've never intervened in other people's dreams. But I am a believer.
No, I don't intervene in other. I've never intervened in someone else's dream. What I do is intervene in my own dream.
All right. Tell me how. What would you do?
All right. Well, like I have a dream where a giant dog is attacking me.
Okay.
Right? And I'm running, and I'll stop running, and I'll say, "No, you're not a dog. You're a kitten." And it turns into a little kitten, and I'll pick it up. And I got a little kitten
Perfect.
On my shoulder.
That's a great ability to do that.
Now, the first time I ever did it, I was a little kid. I was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
And I had this dream that me and my sister were on a we were on a, not a roller coaster, it was a Ferris wheel. And when we got to the top, it stopped. And my sister got up, and she's like, "Well, I'm scared. I'm going to jump." And I grabbed her hand. I said, "It's just a dream. Let's jump together." And we jumped. And you know how they say, well, if you jump off a roof of a building, you'll die when you hit the ground?
When you hit the ground in a dream,
dreaming?
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. But I held her hand, and we just floated down to the ground, and I intervened in that dream. And when I dream, it's weird. It's like I know I'm dreaming.
That's called a lucid dream, when you know you're dreaming.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Absolutely. So that you're doing, can you do this at will whenever you're dreaming?
Yes, I can.
That's remarkable.
I dream every night.
What a great gift.
It is. And you know, I have this one thing I do. It sounds crazy, but I always fly. Sometimes over rooftops and cities, sometimes over mountains, and sometimes I'll be so high I can see the curvature of the earth.
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
And then I wake up you know, in the morning, and I feel great.
I love it. Hey, Tim, thanks for listening.
Okay, well, thank you for the taking my call. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Let's go to Elena in the city of New York on our second chance line. Hi there, Elena.
Hi, George. I'm still laughing from JC.
Oh, he is something else, huh?
Yes.
I mean, if you were Edna, would you go back to him?
I don't know why she was with him in the first place.
I agree. So a second chance, huh? Wow. Tell me about it.
Well, I got one, too, just like the last second chance caller. And, well, not just, with different chances. But I, about 10 years or so ago, I was in a really, really serious depression to where it even affected me physically. And I thought my life was pretty much over. I live in New York City, and I thought I was going to have to move back to Delaware, where I'm from, and be taken care of by my parents. And this went on for several months. I couldn't work or anything. And I made a deal. I love making deals with my higher power. I made a deal that if I got through it alive and sane, I would follow my dreams, because I figured I'd sort of lost everything. I could start over, and I'd always wanted to have a rock band. And I did get through it, and I wound up just scheduling my life so that I could rehearse. I wound up meeting people. I'd never done this before.
This is great.
I mean, I'm musical.
Do you sing? Play an instrument? What do you do?
I sing. I play the flute, which is absolutely no good in a rock band.
It sounds great.
I write songs, and I've been writing them for years and just kind of keeping them in my head. And I hear the bass line, I hear the chords, and I just need people to, I tell other people what to play, and I just sort of hum the parts and they play them.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
I just started meeting people out of the blue, out of nowhere. I got a producer. I got a whole band together from out of nothing.
Good for you.
A couple months. It was amazing. And we wound up, and there's a whole 9/11 tie-in. We wound up through a series of coincidences that I know aren't coincidences because I listen to you, that we wound up being in the recording studio on September 11th, just like 20 blocks from the Trade Center. And I just by a fluke almost was down there this morning because a friend of mine, actually a guy that some of these songs were written about that we were recording.
Good for you.
Who was an ex-boyfriend. Good. He's a Wall Street guy. I wanted to borrow some money from him to finish the recording session. I went to call him the night before to see it, and a couple other times I'd borrowed money from him. I would meet him on the plaza there, like at 10 at night.
Well, let me tell you, I'm glad you got the second chance,